and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody.
That do feel good.
Mm-hmm. Friday's with sexy liberal John Fugelsang, hour number three.
Yes.
Right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, we've had a long filibuster week, haven't we?
Hey.
Oh, it's he had to finally stop and go pee-pee.
The marmoset on his head.
Right, and get a drink.
Yeah.
And God knows I need some of those drinks as well. Here we go. Rocky Mountain Mike with a Friday song.
Making a living the fire truck way. Chucking and driving in Burbank way.
Yes, here we go.
I've been with Steph, Chris and Jim, and Jackie's so fine. Drinking my wine.
Drinking my wine.
Bird dogs spread and Max take tower. They take Steph on their walk. She says she's walking on sunshine. Drinking about wine.
Drinking about wine.
Drinking about wine.
Drinking about wine.
Drinking about la 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 la.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right. Let's see. Bill writes, if you missed Hardball, Dianne Feinstein was great.
Ah.
In the opening segment on Chris Matthews, Dianne Feinstein gently chastised those who think standing on the floor of the Senate spinning hypotheticals about a president sending a drone to kill political enemies like Jane Fonda. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Rand, don't drone me in a cafe, Obama. Paul was a good way to discuss drone policy, then moving on to a serious discussion of actual issues created by the availability of drones that do need to be considered and addressed. Will Bunch tweeted, he said, he asked if Rand Paul would have joined the filibuster of the Civil Rights Act. He said, you know he would have. Remember Rand telling Rachel Maddow he opposed the Civil Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying, Rand Paul standing on his principles, or depends on which ones. Anyway, but yeah, that was like a ridiculous hypothetical. This is not, in fact, Jay Carney read the letter from Eric Holder talking about somebody that was engaging in dissent against the Vietnam War. It's not the same thing. Yeah, this is Jay Carney.
Quote, does the president have the authority to use a weaponized drone to kill an American not engaged in combat on American soil? The answer is no.
But without that clarification,
right.
It could have legally been read as the same thing.
Right.
So I'm glad we did get a clarification.
Yes, and here's the one thing I think is great. It opened the door to filibuster reform, perhaps. Because
now Harry Reid is saying, wait a minute.
Now it's divided the Republican Party yet again. Because now you have John McCain and his Southern Belle.
Oh, my stars.
In the vapors about the whole thing. The Wall Street Journal slamming Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Fight, 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 fight. You're right. It's good that we did the clarification, but
because who knows who's going to be president?
That's obviously
next.
What I assumed he meant, engaged in a combatant,
right.
Not somebody just, again, like, yeah, right, the president's going to send a drone to someone sitting in a cafe, or Jane Fonda hypothetically protesting a government policy.
That was a long time ago.
Right.
But I don't know that we would have gotten that clarification without this stunt from Rand Paul, so I'm kind of glad he did it.
Let's get to the fight part. Senator's filibuster on CIA nominee divides GOP.
Good. Good.
Republicans split bitterly Thursday, and they were so cohesive before this. Tea and then a he.
Tea party and a he.
Exactly. Over Rand Paul's old school filibuster of President Obama's CIA nominee, John Brennan. Mitch McConnell, Mitch McLipless.
Yeah.
Yeah, he liked it.
I can't go.
Sorry, what? I think he assented.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell in a filibuster just wouldn't be a good thing.
Oh boy.
How long does it take them to figure out whether he said yay or nay?
How long does it take
on a vote?
Walk up to the podium.
He turns the entire Senate into hard of hearing Darth Vader. Yay or nay, Senator? Yay or nay? Yay or nay? Yay or nay? What?
let me think about this for a while. I've got all the time in the world.
And he has a whistle.
Yeah, okay. He whistles when he says an S.
Yeah.
John McCain and the Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
Oh.
Grandson to my Republican colleagues. I don't remember any of you coming down here suggesting that President Bush was going to kill anybody with a drone. Thank you, Lindsey. Thank you.
Thank you, wow. Lindsey.
Thank you, Lindsey. Have an extra mint julep on me. McCain scoffed at Paul's contention the U.S. would have targeted Jane Fonda during her trip to Hanoi during the Vietnam War. He said, I must say the use of Jane Fonda's name does evoke certain memories with me, and I must say she's not my favorite American. But I also believe that as odious as it was, Ms. Fonda acted within her constitutional rights. Mm. And to somehow say that someone who disagrees with American policy and even may demonstrate against it is somehow a member of an organization which makes that individual an enemy combatant is simply false. It is simply false. Thank you, Grappy. Thank you, Grappy. Fight. And let's see. Oh, the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Calm down, Senator.
I love that. That was so condescending.
Senator.
Awesome.
Senator.
Senator.
Calm down.
Your 13 little hour spin on your back. No lolly for you. The Wall Street Journal editorial board was not among those lauding the senator, deeming the performance a rant, asking him to calm down.
They're not one of his fans.
Stop it. They brought in Ann Romney to tell him to stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Thank
stop
you.
Stop it.
This is hard.
This is hard. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Get in the ring.
You want to try it without
this
a catheter? You try it.
I am not one of your fans!
Noting Paul's theatrical timing.
Well,
the editorial entitled Rand Paul's Rant remarked if only his reasoning matched his showmanship. It went on to note the senator's hypothetical about the use of a drone strike on Americans sitting at a cafe, criticizing that while he was serious, his argument was not. Calm down, Senator, the Wall Street Journal urged, asserting Eric Holder was correct when asked about the use of drone strikes on American soil. They went on to say the U.S. government cannot randomly target American citizens on U.S. soil or anywhere else. What it can do under the laws of war is target an enemy combatant anywhere at any time, including on U.S. soil. This includes a U.S. citizen who is also an enemy combatant. The president can designate such a combatant if he belongs to an entity, a government, say, or a terrorist network like Al-Qaeda that has taken up arms against the U.S. as part of an internationally recognized armed conflict. This does not include Hanoi Jane, as they used to call Jane Fonda. The way Paul expressed his concern yesterday, arguing we need more than political stunts that fire up impressionable libertarian kids in their college dorms. He said Paul needs to know what he's talking about. Fight, fight, fight! That's right, Wall Street Journal! It actually puts the Republicans once again on the wrong side of...
Right.
Just regardless of what our concerns are, and I understand them. Despite renewed controversy over the U.S. secret drone strike program, a new poll shows majority Americans on both sides of the aisle support the program. Last year, 55% of Americans approved, 56% now approve, just 26% of Americans disapprove.
Right. I approve a foreign program, but not a domestic program.
Well, but what if the situation is what the Attorney General just explained? What if it's an enemy combatant, even if it's an American on American soil? That obviously, that's what he said. Let's hear that again. This was Eric Holder's letter.
Quote, does the president have the authority to use a weaponized drone to kill an American not engaged in combat on American soil? The answer is no.
Right. But if they are engaged in combat, how is that not?
I think we have ways internally, within our own laws.
Without a drone.
Without a drone.
See, here's what I don't get about the drone debate in terms of even overseas.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously always been civilian casualties in war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you would object, say, to a drone when we talked about Iraq specifically, how many civilian casualties were there from regular bombs or warfare or whatever?
I don't object to using drones overseas.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
You're supposing that I am.
I'm not saying you specifically.
Okay.
I'm saying...
It's the domestic use of drones that I'm against.
That's a terrible precedent.
Right. I mean, these are two totally different things.
So, Attorney General Eric Holder...
Who decides if someone's an enemy combatant?
I mean,
well,
what,
if they are engaged, what, if they are actively engaged in combat against the United States, well, and they're on American soil, what are you supposed to do? I mean, okay. All right. Here is Rand Paul yesterday. Rand Paul.
Hooray. For 13 hours yesterday, we asked him that question. And so there is a result and a victory. Under duress and under public humiliation, the White House will respond and do the right thing.
I don't know if it was public humiliation.
Oh, he's such a showboat. He was on every friggin' show yesterday.
He
and
was.
Did Rush Limbaugh and oh, hooray for me.
Well, a filibuster is designed to be a show.
And then he said he was happy with the answer. He'd be dropping his hold on Brennan's nomination. Yeah. Oh, after you. No, go ahead. Pardon me, was I being rude?
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Well, people are saying that it was just a stunt, you know, but a filibuster is designed to be
no,
a stunt.
No, I think the best thing is, well, we'll see, but Harry Reid winks at revisiting filibuster reform because what was ironic is while he was doing the real thing, the Republicans filibustered another judicial
nominee,
pick.
Yeah.
I wasn't winking. I just got something in my eye.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
It's hard to tell with those glasses. All right. But we'll talk about what that might mean for this as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Girl.
Yeah.
Play down the boogie and play that funky music till you die.
Do you know? Huh? 22 minutes after the hour, I have completely ignored the do not feed the mooks sign.
Why?
I have.
Wait a minute. You fed him and you didn't feed me?
No.
Don't I look hungry?
you're over there in your enclosure. You're more dangerous around protein than he is. Look at you. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, you can have some.
Thank you.
Okay, just don't maul me. All right.
I just lit my last match.
Little match boy. 1-800-STEP-12. Here's a little treat for you. It's your girlfriend, Queen Bee in Tennessee. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, y'all.
Thank you for the beautiful Afghan.
Oh, you are so welcome. Hello, sexy Chris.
Hey, Queen Bee.
That's so weird.
I know you all have been talking about heavy stuff this morning, filibusters and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know the boob song that you've been talking about lately?
Right.
We saw your boobs.
We saw all your boobs. Yes.
Yeah, okay. If you've noticed what those women wear on the red carpet, their hemlines are slit to the waist.
Yep.
Their necklines are plunged to the boobs, all the way to the waist.
That's right.
They may as well wear a belt. And they want to fuss about this. They're going to get offended.
No position to complain about that song.
That is exactly right. Oh, and one other thing I want to ask you.
Yes.
When did Meet the Press become the John McCain show? I've been meaning to ask you that for a long time.
Right. He's not even a senator from Arizona anymore. He's a senator of the Green Room.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Queen Bee. Love you. Okay. How cute is she? She sent me a beautiful Afghan.
It was beautiful.
You don't need another dog. What are you doing with it now? Oh, I saw
a blanket, Jim. Oh, you scamp.
It's a knitted blanket.
Jenny, Illinois.
Knitted by dogs.
That generally hangs over the back of the couch.
Right. Jenny in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Hi. First, you'd like to be the official independent music store owner of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
And just so John Bona knows, we were affected as of March 1st by the sequester.
Uh-oh.
My husband worked for the railroad. Mm-hmm. He was furloughed in October, and our $660 that we get every 15 days was just lowered to $553 every 15 days. And something that nobody's talking about, they're decimating the railroad. It used to be, it's like the last awesome benefits, awesome pension, and they're tearing it apart. The company he worked for since October has laid off 5,000 guys. Hunter Harrison is just tearing the railroad apart, but no one's talking about it. But we were affected as of March 1st by the sequester. So
they're trying to do to the railroads what they're doing to the post office.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Jenny, I'm so sorry, but thank you for your story. And I bet you he works there all the livelong day as well. At the
really?
Railroad. Mm-hmm. It's Friday. Leave me alone. Okay.
It's not a joke to be made when someone was furloughed.
No.
Because he doesn't work there all the live long day.
No. Well, he used to. Now he doesn't because of boner. Donna in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't you slap your head in your hands. Hello,
that was
Donna.
A face palm.
A face plant. Donna in Chicago. Hi, Donna. Hello, Donna.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Donna. All right, then. Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, gang.
Hi.
Okay, you know, it's time for the conspiracy theories.
Okay.
John Yoo and Dick Cheney has bred it into our head that they can change the verbiage of any law, i.e., torture, into enhanced interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know that what is the new definition of combat?
Right.
We're not allowed to kill any American citizen on American soil involved in combat. That's the first thing. And second of all, like Ed Schultz said yesterday, what if you're vacationing in London? Why can't they just have in the law, we're not allowed to kill American citizens without a trial? Why is that so hard?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, that's what I was trying to say. Is that what? How do you define an enemy combatant?
Yeah.
What is combat? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a bit of a nebulous
definition.
That's
the thing, is we're off into these hypotheticals, but you can imagine this hypothetical happening, and then the Republicans immediately will say, see, he's weak on terror. See, he didn't protect the homeland, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's you know. All right, Rand Paul.
And that cousin, someone has determined, might be a terrorist. Now he is associated with terrorism. Does the country or the president get to decide, oh, he's an enemy combatant,
right,
and he gets no lawyer and he gets no trial?
That's a good point.
Exactly.
What if your cousin is a terrorist?
Well, so how come he lifted the... He said that they answered his questions sufficiently.
Well, that's he was saying that's what his original,
question
argument
was
about.
Okay.
Exactly.
All
that's
right.
Why he did the filibuster. He wanted that answered.
Right. Southern Bell, Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday.
I find the question offensive. This president is not going to use a drone against a non-combatant sitting in a cafe anywhere in the United States.
Well, now that it's been clearly defined by Eric Holder.
Right. But if even Lindsey Graham could say... Really? I mean, he's not a big Obama supporter, and that's all I'm saying is Rand Paul.
But I wouldn't put it past someone like Dick Cheney to actually do something like that.
And he already did.
Right.
Senator Lindsey Graham again.
As much as I disagree with President Obama, much as I support past presidents, I do not believe that question deserves an answer.
Which was he talking about? The central question?
The central question.
Yeah.
Would President Obama use drones on Americans on American soil?
Right. Well, we got the answer.
Yes, we did.
John McCain.
Donna, I think a disservice to a lot of Americans by making them believe that somehow they're in danger from their government. They're not.
Carol in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
If we know where someone in the United States, where they are to send a drone, why can't we just send local or federal law enforcement?
Well, that's what Chris is saying.
Through channels?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. We have domestic ways of dealing with stuff like this.
I mean, drones make sense if you're over a foreign country.
Right.
And they're trying to...
Because we have no jurisdiction over that country.
But within our own country.
And there's no guarantee of due process in other countries like we have guarantees of due process here.
And that's why, to save American troops, we do it in other countries.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Lots more good stuff, including, I haven't even gotten to Harry Reid winks at reforming filibuster. Wink. Wink. Okay. All right. Yeah, obviously, Jeff Merkley, who Yvonne had on, Senator Merkley, I'm sure has some thoughts on this, too. So, yay, Rand Paul. Thanks for bringing it up again. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Children, if I learned anything from my years as a groupie for the Dave Matthews Band, it was to listen. So now you listen to
Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. I just used mine this morning. Okay, nothing works faster or lasts longer than knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Uh-huh.
It's clear.
It is. It's really unusual.
It's not that, like, sickly sweet blue right. kind of toothpaste. And
but
toothpaste.
It really works.
Oh,
I love
God.
It.
Smell that. Can you smell that, everybody? Okay. 1-800.
Especially after Greek food. It comes in very handy.
I just do it again after the Greek food. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Senator Rand Paul yesterday.
Their position is that the whole world is a battlefield, including America, and that the laws of war apply to America. In war, you don't get due process. If you're in Afghanistan, you're Americans shooting at our soldiers, they can shoot you. They don't ask for a warrant. But in our country, you do have due process. So our country isn't a battlefield with no laws.
Okay, so,
he
yes.
He actually makes sense.
Yes.
He did
time.
Make sense. Exactly, just like his, what is the bit that Hal does about Ron Paul, about that it's dance music, it sounds good from another yeah. room, and then you then close and you're like, wait a minute.
Then you hear the lyrics.
Most of this is nonsense.
Yeah. Huh?
All right, oh, here's the big news, is he did decided against using a catheter, everybody, just in, you want to know all the details of the...
Really?
Yes. Glenn Beck asked him if he considered using a catheter. He said, I did think about it. I put them in before.
As an,
himself?
As an eye doctor?
As an eye doctor? How long? He's really slow at
no,
surgery.
Yeah, no.
This could take a couple of days.
No wonder he doesn't want regulations in the medical field.
I thought LASIK's supposed to take like 2 minutes. Hmm.
You have to go
a
through
catheter?
There?
A catheter? Really?
Yeah, you have to go through there to get to your eye?
That's what happens when you have a libertarian eye doctor.
Hey, let the market decide.
If he decides, that's how you get to your eyes through your.
I'm
going to
snake
the way
it through your junk all the way up to your eye socket.
What?
Who's going to tell him no?
Oh, I suppose you want regulations, you Nazi.
After 13 hours, he said, "I've discovered there are some limits to filibustering, and I'm going to have to go take care of one of those in a few minutes." The limitation being his.
Could have had a stadium, buddy.
Yeah.
Right, or a pocket fisherman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Mitch McLipless.
The question he raised was entirely appropriate and should have already been answered by the Obama administration.
Why does he not answer questions that have not been asked yet?
Donna in Chicago. Hi, Donna. Welcome. Hello, Donna. Donna?
Hello?
I seem to be having trouble with my Donna line. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I don't think Donna's there.
I know. Derek in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Derek.
Oh, hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know, what I would like to ask is this. You know, a drone is nothing but a weapon on American soil. Now, the question I'm getting to, it's nonsense. What Rand Paul basically...
Was that a screaming goat?
Ron Paul.
Hello?
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay, Stephanie, basically what Ron Paul is trying to do is this. He's trying to protect these neo-Nazis and these extremist groups such as Ted Nugent. He's asking the question, can these people...
Oh, he did say one hypothetical about what if someone, like, you drone a libertarian group going to meet... It really was like a bunch of ridiculous...
Basically, what they are doing is this. He's trying to make sure they have these training camps like terrorist camps overseas. Maybe the government is using these drones to observe these people. Now, what I want to ask you is this. A drone is nothing but a weapon. And if you look at it, it can be used... And no one has said about killing anyone on American soil, but these are the people who he's trying to protect. He has intelligence that we know. These people are being observed. And what he's doing, like Ted Nugent said, he's going to kill people. You got people on the Internet threatening against the government. So he's coming out and trying to protect these people.
Right. But I think that's what they clarified. It's not somebody – it's not an intent. It is somebody engaged – an enemy combatant, someone engaged in combat actively against the United States. Which, you know, that's the thing. He got so into hypotheticals. It's like, would we have bombed Jane Fonda? No. Not people protesting the policies of the government. That's not... And then he talked about Kent State. It's just... But his examples were ridiculous, I thought.
Well, Kent State is a joke.
Would the president use drones against war protesters? No. Like, I just...
But that's what the National Guard did. They killed students who were protesting war.
Yes, right. But that's what I'm saying. It just... I understand Trust me, I have to fill 3 hours a day, so I understand. Filling 13 hours, you're going to see ridiculous things.
Sure.
I say ridiculous things just for 3 hours.
3 hours.
Right?
Yes. I should play them all back for you
no,
one day.
No, do not. That's why I could never run for office. Right. Just 5 minutes of tape. I said, what now?
Ooh.
Richard Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, like the show.
Thank you.
Really, you know, we're flying drones over a country we're not at war. We're killing people. It's documented we've killed thousands
Pakistan.
Of people.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, we're relying on the army.
Well, wait, Richard, to go to Chris's argument about, again, why we need to do, you know, why we don't need to do it here is because we have law enforcement, we have jurisdiction here. What do we do
we
in Pakistan?
We have due process here. We don't
what
have...
do we do in Pakistan?
Well,
that's where Osama bin Laden
was. Well,
we
declare war on them might be a start. We're killing a lot of people.
We should declare war on Pakistan?
Well, we're flying and killing people there, and anybody we kill is an enemy combatant. You remember we did it in Vietnam with body counts. There's a book about it now.
Okay. But I disagree that we should declare war on Pakistan. The problem is
we don't have
jurisdiction.
We killed an Afghan national in Pakistan.
No, we've killed a lot of civilians in Pakistan.
Yeah, but do I have a problem with going into Pakistan which is exactly what Obama said he would do. If they will not help, and he has actionable intelligence that Osama bin Laden is there, he's going to go get him, and he did.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a drone strike. It was a surgical,
Right.
Yeah, it was, It's different from just...
It was a man with a gun.
You know, missiles
right, but
and
I don't think we can do
people.
Surgical strikes in every single instance.
No, we can't.
Instance.
That's impossible.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
You know, I think this whole business is really showing a distinction between kind of your traditional Republicans, if you want to call Graham and McCain that, and the likes of Rand Paul. I mean, McCain and Lindsey Graham have been in the Senate a long time. They kind of know how the whole system works. And I think fundamentally they have a trust of the government since they see themselves as such a part of it. But then you've got the Rand Pauls, who's libertarian and looks through everything with libertarian glasses.
Right.
And so the government is always suspect. The government is sitting there twiddling its mustache. Just waiting to do something bad to you. So therefore...
That's more anarchist.
Well, it is to a degree, but the fact is, government is suspect. So he has to make sure every turn that the government's not going to be doing something bad. And it struck me as a kind of... One of the things that made me feel kind of sad about it, actually, was can we no longer operate with any assumptions? Can we no longer operate with any kind of assumption that the government isn't going to do something like this internally?
Well, I think a slight mistrust of what the government does is actually healthy.
I do too, Chris. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole business of why I agree with you completely on that one.
Right. I had major distrust for the Cheney-Bush administration.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it does depend to some degree on who's running the government, I have to say.
Exactly. Can I say one thing slightly naughty?
Yes.
That port of entry may not be the way to get to my eyes, but it is the way to my heart.
Oh, you precious little pumpkin. See what you did there. We were talking about Rand Paul using a catheter to do eye surgery on you.
In a libertarian paradise.
Because he's a libertarian eye doctor, and don't tell him what the quickest way to your eye is. He says it's through your... Sucks to be you.
Yeah. He's letting the market decide. If the market says...
Right.
You should go in through your...
Right.
Blank hole.
Right.
Go for it.
Ew.
What?
Okay. Senator Harry Reid.
What I've learned from my experiences with talking filibusters is this. To succeed, you need strong convictions, but also a strong bladder. It's obvious. Senator Paul has both.
Well, this would be good. This actually helped lead to real filibuster reform. It instantly made him a folk hero, of course, on the right, but the spectacle also provided a healthy dose of oxygen to reignite the case of filibuster reform. Harry Reid said, we should all reflect on what happened yesterday as we proceed with other nominations, including a number of judicial nominations. This can be a Senate where ideas are debated in full public view and obstruction happens in full public view as well. Or it can be a Senate where a small minority obstructs from behind closed doors without ever coming to the Senate floor. Ironically, as we were saying, on the same day that Rand was doing the filibuster, Senate Republicans quietly filibustered the judicial nomination of Caitlin Halligan to the coveted D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
That was through a wussy filibuster,
right?
Though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
So my Republican colleagues love to extol the virtues of regular order. If only we get back to the days of regular order, they say the Senate would function again. Yesterday, we saw both sides of that. On one hand, my Republican colleagues did not practice regular order. Mm-hmm. Instead, they demanded the 60-vote threshold for confirmation of a qualified nominee. to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. Republicans hid behind a cloture vote, a filibuster by another term, to prevent a simple up or down vote on this important nomination. They took the easy way out. On the other hand, he said the Republican senator did return to regular order. As is his right, he spoke for as long as he was able. That is a filibuster. So Talking Points memo saying Reid's comments unmistakably express his view that bipartisan rules enacted earlier this year has not brought Republicans to end their practice of silently filibustering.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats expressed hope that the January deal would usher in a new era of comedy in the chamber. Yeah.
Comedy, not comedy.
Right. Well, it did both. But since then, Republicans have launched numerous filibusters.
That's comedy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm.
Although his comments yesterday wink at revisiting reform, it's not clear he intends to do so. He may simply be using the occasion to shine a light on Republican obstruction and pressure them to willingly change. How's that worked out so far, I wonder? I say it's time to revisit what Dick Durbin said, the Merkley Amendment. I mean, honestly, expecting the Republicans to just do the row, oh, well, you shine a light on it. Well, that'll show them. Really?
That just makes it
oh,
bright.
Now I'm sure they're going to do the right thing.
I like the Merkin Muffley Amendment.
I'm not going to go down in history as the greatest
that's a
war.
Dr. Strangelove reference that you wouldn't get because you've never seen the movie.
Hitler.
Chris and
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get a hair mask. I am saying 10 to 20 million dead tops.
I think
depending on the breakers.
You would really enjoy that movie,
I think
Steph.
I will. Yeah. I think I'll go get it this weekend. Chris in Kentucky. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks.
Hi.
Love you guys.
Thank
I found you back in October by accident on Current, and I haven't missed a day since.
Oh, precious pumpkin. Go ahead.
I've got some information for y'all. Down here in Kentucky, we have a certain military base has a lot of gold on it.
Yeah, Fort
my
Knox.
Wife worked. I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, now you gave it away.
Oh, damn it.
Fort Knox is where? Oh, no. Now we're going to send out some drones.
Now we're going to call in a drone strike.
Now we're going to have a drone strike.
You're because of me.
You're obviously an enemy combatant because you gave away where Fort Knox is.
My wife works there, and today she works for a specific contract that takes care of soldiers going to school. Today, it was informed that due to the sequester, they're pulling student or tuition assistance from soldiers.
Great.
Oy vey.
So
GI Bill in reverse.
Yeah.
All these soldiers who are in school right now and, you know, paying through the military for their classes are now going to have to pay out of pocket for courses that they're already enrolled in.
Wow.
Yep.
And a bunch of people are getting laid off because of this.
Yep. Real people, real consequences. Hey, Chris, what's that thing right outside the window? Just kidding.
Grant, I put all of us in danger
because
of what
that
I said.
You and your chatty pie hole about where Fort Knox is. Thanks. Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
I have Greek food breath now. Thank you.
I'm getting you a TheraBreath lozenge.
Thank you.
Because I cannot tolerate you. Lee in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to bring up one point, Steph. I want to hear, you know, what you think about it. You know, this $9 minimum wage where the Republicans are, like, going crazy over it and this and that. Don't they realize it's a fact that every time the minimum wage has gone up, it's created jobs, and they say the complete opposite. So there again, they're lying.
Yeah.
I mean, how much? I mean, it's ridiculous. When you consider a place like Walmart that's average wage is $8.87 an hour. This is a corporation that's making clearing $15 billion a year. Are they that much into their pockets to where they don't even want to consider raising minimum wage?
Yeah.
Is that what it is, Steph?
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody understands that when people have money to buy your products, everybody wins, you know? I mean, it's just, it's, they act like it's some outrageous amount, and they won't pay it, Jim.
It's outrageous. I won't pay it.
Eric, and no matter what it is, Eric in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good
Hi,
morning,
Eric. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm kind of confused. Are you guys, is that the MOOCs, or are they now the panel, or whatever?
They're a panel of MOOCs.
I had said an observation and kind of a rhetorical question. Most, or quite often, the Republican side is, the extreme Republican side, that is, has always come out and said Obama's a socialist, or he's a Nazi, or he's
right.
Anti this, that, and the other.
Yes, a bunch of things that have nothing to do with one another, but he's all of them.
Right, but at the same time, a significant portion of their base have Aryan Brotherhood tendencies, white supremacist tendencies. So isn't that kind of like their panacea right there? You know, having a Hitler-type environment, but they keep on comparing President Obama to this. So, I mean, it's sending mixed signals, and I'm not sure exactly what their message
well,
is.
Well, I see what you're saying. I don't know how Hitler would feel about being compared to a black guy, Jim.
Yeah. He didn't shake Jesse Owens' hand at the 36 Olympics because he didn't consider him a human being.
There's that. Alina in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Just want to say something about this whole Rand Paul thing and you all's support of this man who is a racist. It's amazing to me. This is the exact reason why
I don't support Rand Paul.
Okay, fine. Can I just want to make my statement and you guys can say whatever you want to. I'm at the point I do not care.
No, I said earlier, Alina, that I think he would have filibustered the Civil Rights Act.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but my point is this right here is the exact reason the expressions on your show, they are the exact reason why liberals and progressives are always on the losing end in elections. The only thing
won the last one.
Excuse me.
Well, then.
We won the last
the
one, remember?
The only thing I understand we won the last one, but what I'm saying is what they are trying to do is what they always do, is divide. And who always fall for it?
Chris.
Liberals and progressives.
Chris
they
does.
Always fall for it. Wave a little doggy bone in front of them and then go howling after it.
I'm the happy, clappy one here. I agree with you
much
of the time.
Okay, fine. Let me say this. That man is a racist.
He is.
I mean, he is a racist, and that, in my opinion, trumps everything. Mm-hmm. So the day liberals and progressives start supporting this racist in anything is the day I close my ears.
Even a stop clock
There is no well, you know. Because
okay, the world doesn't work in black and white, Alina. One man cannot be completely evil or completely good. He did, with this filibuster, he did one good thing. The rest of him completely sucks.
I agree with Ron Paul on Iraq, and then that pretty much is it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I think
no, you must be ideologically pure in every
way. Well, I agree with her most of the time. You two are an impediment to democracy and to everything good.
Just the
by
world,
expressing
the world
our opinions.
Isn't
right.
Completely
that's,
good or completely
that's,
evil.
It's bad for democracy for people to express their opinions.
You just give
you
me
must
headaches.
Agree with me completely.
George in Missouri.
1,000%.
It's true. We do. You know, because liberals are more into nuance, we do tend to get easily divided and turn on each other. And
that's why the Stephanie Miller Show is a dictatorship.
Right. Screw you, George in Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Ain't no friggin' democracy here. Hello, George.
Hi. With disrespect to this drone dust up, I would like to know what is the definition of combatant, because it seems like a lot of unarmed people have been getting killed. Lately.
That's right. Yeah, I've seen the same thing.
And then,
if George,
someone
do you really think somebody sitting at a cafe, the president's going to send a drone into a cafe in America? Do you really think that?
No,
I mean,
talking about Pakistan.
I think I'm talking about when you talk about somebody actively engaged in combat against the United States of America.
But we have killed a lot of civilians, not on purpose.
Well, that's why I'd like to know what the definition of a combatant is, you see, because...
that is nebulous.
A lot of,
exactly. That's my point.
Somebody engaged in combat against the United States of America.
But we have killed a lot of civilians who are not engaged in combat.
Right,
we've killed civilians by other means in every war in history. And not that we wanted to or intended to, but...
Right, but like what Rand Paul was saying, if your cousin is a terrorist and you associate with your cousin, does that make you associating with terrorists?
Mm-hmm. You're an idiot to agree with anything Rand Paul said.
Apparently.
And you're a racist, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, that is not the slogan of my spinning class. Death is weakness leaving the body. That is not the slogan.
Well,
they do bark things at you like there's no recovery in this class. Recovery, staying alive.
Until you drop dead.
Right, then, but that's motivation.
But that's not our fault.
How is that motivation? That's just annoying as hell.
I try to ask questions. I'm like, what if we shouldn't be exercising this hard? What if we're just middle-aged drunks really shouldn't be?
What if my pulse rate is 250 right now? Should I still be pedaling this fast?
That's weakness leaving your body.
Right.
All right.
Arbeit macht frei.
I don't understand how that's motivation.
One of my teachers is like Louis Gossett Jr., and I'm like Richard Gere. Like, I'm not quitting! I've got no place else to go! Which is true, and I'm very sad. You guys know that's true. I really have no place else to go. Just here and spinning. Okay.
That's sad.
Looky here! Jobs report. Sturdy gains bolster economy. Jobless rate falls to 7.7. U.S. employers added 236,000 jobs in February.
Yep.
That's a four-year low, the unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. Just in time for the sequestration to kick in and screw it
all.
Put
everyone out of work.
It's the Obama question. My plan is succeeding.
I've never heard of
poor
turtle.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah. He can't do the evil laugh. He doesn't have an upper lip. You need to be able to go.
You need to be able to open your mouth a lot, and he can't.
That's sad when you can't do the evil laugh. All right, Debbie. He will never, ever achieve that.
Daffy Duck has a huge mouth, so he can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're despicable.
It's a love letter. Debbie in St. Cloud, Minnesota writes, Steph, been watching your show since finding you on the air during the presidential debates. Now I'm hooked. I make sure my TV is preset with your show, so it's on when I turn on the TV first thing in the morning. Oh, it's like Poltergeist. She's on the TV. She always is. She's just there. I'm here. See, she wakes up in the morning, and I'm just there going, I'm here.
Is your house built on an Indian burial ground?
Probably.
And then she says, this house is clean.
Like the little lady in Poltergeist?
Yes, Zelda Rubinstein.
Right. I wish that someday I will be able to see one of the sexy liberal comedy shows in person. What? Debbie, you're only in St. Cloud, Minnesota, Chicago.
You're right next door.
It's not that far.
6 hours away.
It's
a bit of a hike.
Road trip.
And
what are we doing? Road trip. Debbie, come on.
What are we going to do? Road trip.
Yeah. April 13th, Chicago Theater. Tickets going fast. Get it. It's the big Midwest show. There's only three this year. This is the second one. There will be a West Coast one sometime.
Whatever.
Who knows when? I'm always the last to know.
So get in your car and drive to Chicago.
I don't know about
flying. Put on your jacket.
Because as we've been saying, what up with the knives on flights? I don't.
Yeah.
Isn't that how this whole thing started with the box cutters?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
New TSA policy on knives and bats sparks backlash.
Because who doesn't
remember what a good idea Bat Day was at Yankee Stadium? Good idea. Alcohol, bats, New Yorkers.
No.
Spectacular idea.
Yikes.
Well,
air traffic controllers either, thanks to these sequestration.
Awesome. Stuff.
They allow batteries on planes, and you remember what happened during Battery Day.
Oh, in Philly?
Yeah.
They don't mess around in
Philly. No, they don't.
Flight attendants, pilots, federal air marshals, even insurance companies, part of a growing backlash to the TSA's new policy allowing passengers to carry small knives and sports equipment like souvenir baseball bats and golf clubs on
Great.
The planes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could happen there? And they serve alcohol. Oh. Okay, I said put your seat back forward. Smack. Pardon me. Flight attendant, I've just been shivved by the person behind me. All right. Kelly in Fort Lauderdale, another love letter.
Okay.
And this is a multi-species one.
Ooh.
Jumbi, feline, and Cecilia Ann, canine. Well, there they are. Watch the Stephanie Miller Show 3 hours a day. Hi, Jumbi. Hi, Cecilia Ann. Look at them. I have a surprising amount of pictures in my collection of creatures watching us. Finches, very popular with finches.
Well, at least we have an audience.
I am Kelly.
not Peter Finch so much.
No.
I think we have a bigger animal audience than Animal Planet, frankly.
I think we do.
Yeah. I am Kelly, male humanoid.
Take that puppy ball.
Not a... Suck on that puppy ball. I'm Kelly, male humanoid, not in photo. Would like to apply to be a MOOC. I would make you look better than your current MOOCs. I would almost never correct your pronunciation because I would think you're correct and I was wrong. Good. And I have seen fewer movies even than you. When you talk about Lily and Gish and the Mask and the Rats, I just smile and nod. Think about it, Kelly. I think I will.
That never happened in any movie ever.
Oh, here's a great report on the TV. Pants bomb slipped through TSA.
Oh, no.
So we've been irradiating ourselves and showing our junk for no purpose. Because pants bombs.
They're getting rid of the junk showing machines, though.
So they say. Bomb. How do we know?
Oh, hey, speaking of bombshells, Jim, looky here. Bob Nay's got himself a book, and he's got some thoughts on John Boner in that there book. Mm. He's the guy that went to the into the pokey. Because of the Jack Abramoff scandal.
A horse named Pokey, and he's Bob Nay.
He went to jail in the Abramoff scandal. He was the congressman from Ohio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Would you like to hear some
fun facts? I went back to Ohio. My city was
from,
gone.
Yes.
It was really shocking.
In his new book, he says Boner is portrayed in the book as more concerned about fundraising and fun than governing. Huh? Isn't that what they say about the president?
Wow. So all he's doing is going out and fundraising.
Huh. Lazy. Many felt his money-raising focus would make up for his lack of concern about legislation. He was considered a man who was all about winning and money. He was a chain-smoking, relentless wine drinker who was more interested in the high life, golf, women, cigarettes, fun, alcohol. What?
That's what they pay me for. Out of the tavern!
Nay goes on to say that Boner was lazy!
Yep.
Took thousands of dollars in booze, food, and golf games from lobbyists and repeatedly slid around ethics rules.
Huh.
Oh, Boner.
All he does is play golf.
Yeah.
Lazy, living off the government dole, playing golf. Lazy.
Sucking on that government teat.
As long as that government teat is filled with bourbon.
There you go. Or really good wine. Merlot. Okay. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Sean Hannity, they're feeling a little plucky over there about the whole Rand Paul thing.
Mm-hmm. Between the sequestration overreach and Rand Paul, there seems to be an energy now among the grassroots.
No.
People seem really, really more. Kind of excited at the idea
kind of
now people taking on the president losing, the president overreaching, the president miscalculating. Do you think this could be a little bit of a shift in momentum, politically speaking?
No.
Yeah.
In fact, there's more fighting going on in the Republican Party than there ever was before.
His boss, Rush, tried that yesterday, too. I don't really think this is a whole shift in momentum. We shall see.
But Romney will prove to be the real president after all.
Actually, it's further divided the Republican Party. Now you have the establishment like McCain and Graham on one side.
It's a mess. They're a mess over there.
It's a mess. Oh, Sean. Nice try. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
Because the right wing has demonized Barack Obama so much, many independent Americans are tuning out. They're numb to criticism about the president. Mm-hmm. All this birth certificate and Muslim stuff has actually helped Barack Obama.
Right.
Because now, when there's a legitimate criticism that he's mismanaging the U.S. economy big time, many people don't even pay attention. They don't even listen.
You figured it out.
But this spending issue is vital for all of us.
Oh.
And that's why I'm raising my voice.
Oh,
that's why
you act like a lunatic.
You're a liar!
Except that maybe he didn't get the report about unemployment at a 4-year low and stock market at an all-time high.
Yeah, record high.
Yes, and all the spending problems.
So seriously mismanaging the economy in...
In what way?
Now?
Okay. He pulled it back from the mess that George Bush created.
Yeah.
Great.
And people like Social Security and Medicare. There's
because they pay into it.
Spinning that.
They pay into it. So they expect something out of it.
Wow. How's about that Paul Ryan coming back with his whole magical voucher? How about this again? Oh, Eddie.
They're just trying to kill the Republican Party.
We already told you to go in the election.
It's
pretty support. Wonderful, Eddie.
No.
I won't go.
No.
I won't.
Thank you.
You can't leave.
Thank you.
Voucher. It's premium
Skedaddle
support.
Along now. Skedaddle along with your old crappy plan.
It's premium support. It's not a voucher. It's very, very serious.
it's worth as much as a coupon for a value meal at Wendy's.
Stuart Varney, Fox and Friends.
It is deliberate, quite clearly deliberate. He wants to impose the pain. I can't remember a president ever doing that before. The leader of the executive branch imposing deliberate pain on the American people for political advantage.
He's not doing that. It's the Republicans who wanted it.
But as an American,
years of being an American, I'm appalled at what this prime minister has done. Oh, I'm sorry, president. Oops.
I'm from Kalamazoo.
That's his Kalamazoo accent.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
The liberals have leaders who are radicals who are trying to corrupt as much of the tradition and institution that has defined the country, and the followers, they glom onto something that makes them feel good, compassion, love, and whatever, and have no clue what they're really doing. They actually they think they're being fair and open-minded, and they're actually being hoodwinked into following policies and ideas that end up corrupting really good things. And it's not just gay marriage, there's an all-out assault.
Uh-oh.
Wow, he sounds kind of dispirited.
I just was going to say, he sounds like he's lost the will to be specific in any way.
Certain things, people, stuff on the left, leaving their...
They think they're...
I don't have the energy to think through it.
See, my point is...
It's causing a general sense of ennui.
He sounds like he needs a hug. Let's get, like, 3, 4, 5 people to give him.
Hands across
hands across Rush. See what I did there?
How many people are free to be able to accomplish
Maybe
that, I wonder.
OxyContin prescription has run out.
All right, Monica Crowley, Fox News.
A little bit more cynical about the president's motives here. He has set up Paul Ryan before. Remember a couple of years ago, he was giving a big budget speech. He invited Paul Ryan to sit front and center, and then he proceeded to ream him and all of his policies.
You know,
given
awesome.
This president's history and pattern of behavior, especially with Republicans, it may be, and the president has done this before,
He's
where he
naughty.
Has met with Republicans so that then he can say if the economy goes south or things fail, proposals fail, they don't get a grand bargain, he can then turn around and say, look, I met with them, I had dinner, we had long conversations about politics and policy, and nothing came about. Therefore, it is their fault.
So it could
be a setup where he's setting up the Republicans, especially the leadership, to say they just won't work with me.
She doesn't seem to get how negotiations work, does she?
So this is the first president to ever have met with people over a meal.
This is what he does. He sets he trusts to them.
The Kenyan plot when he does it.
Forces
right.
them
right.
to reveal what they think about stuff which people don't like.
Right.
And then I don't really have a point.
Okay.
Poor Monica.
Oh, boy. Go be bewildered by things with Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah.
Ooh, look, the water is coming back. No. Oh, it's going out again.
No, okay, we're at the beach. Okay.
Oh, why is it dark? Where's the bright thing? Oh, there it is. Oh,
okay, sundown. All right, Michelle Malkin, Fox and Friends.
Even if there are internal disagreements among Republicans and conservatives about the actual policy and the extent of what presidential authority should be in wartime, the fact that you had a singular figure grab the platform, the spotlight, seize the narrative, and force a very uncomfortable issue in front of the White House and the world, that's the kind of leadership that a lot of conservatives have been looking for.
She's talking about Rand Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Sure, yes. Go with that.
Because
that leadership.
Because all conservatives agreed with him. You go with that, Michelle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham right behind him.
Uh-huh. Well. Oh,
okay.
My stars. 19... I can't believe you went there.
After the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making more people spit coffee on themselves than any other radio show in America. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The Pointer Sisters' Slutty Period.
My favorite. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800
I like the Slutty Sisters' Pointy Period.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Judy in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Good morning, Mama. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm in a bit of a liberal tizzy here.
Okay.
I got an email last night from Debbie Stabenow.
Uh-huh.
announcing that Senator Carl Levin is not running for re-election.
That's right.
Yeah.
Horrible news for Michigan here, because we're not really well known for putting up viable candidates.
I think Jennifer Granholm would be a wonderful candidate.
Jennifer Granholm would be a spectacular
candidate.
Great.
She would be great. And, so that's how we got Rick Snyder, which they ran John Cherry with, who, it was, Jennifer Granholm's lieutenant governor.
Right.
But, my point was, he emailed, this morning stating that the reason he's not going to be running again is because he would have to spend the next 2 years, campaigning, raising money, and he plans on just doing his job. So I think that's just really kind of telling the state of our elections.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. By the way, Fine American Chuck writes, Steph, I agree with the caller who spoke out against Rand Paul. Rand Paul cares nothing about drones. He just wanted the chance to attack Obama on something, particularly when thoughtless liberals like your mooks would join in and praise him for his stance. As the caller said, Rand Paul is first and foremost a racist. Did you give Hitler credit for uniting Germany?
Okay.
He got to Hitler before you did.
Stupid argument.
Annie and Jennifer, Chris in Kansas.
I apologize for using nuance.
Yeah.
Hello, Chris. Welcome.
I like the old aunts myself.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. I was kind of confused since there's two Chris's here.
Yes, I know you, Chris.
Sure you would. Yes, thank you. Well, this is my first time to call in from Kansas, where you probably don't get a lot of phone calls from Kansas because there's not too many Democrats here.
Yes. That's what's the matter with Kansas, by the way.
I totally agree.
Right.
Anyhow, the thing that I wanted to talk about, once again with the drones, which it seems like we're kind of droning on about.
Hi, I see what you did there.
But anyhow, when you have politicians like Rand Paul standing up in the Senate and using what I feel like were kind of ridiculous examples of how the government would use drones.
Right. I mean, seriously, Jane Fonda, you're sitting at a random cafe, and come on.
Yeah, not, that's crazy, but the thing about it is, to me, it's fear-mongering, and it's what they've been using since before the president even became president. As soon as he started campaigning, these people were using fear-mongering, and I saw, I don't know, maybe it was on Rachel, a statistic where militias have increased by like 800% since the president took office.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. You know, I feel like when you use examples like that, it is playing into that fear that has been established by the right wing, Rush Limbaugh, Fox News. You know, it's just wrong.
Well, I mean, but you raise an interesting point that, you know, isn't that one of the hypotheticals? Is, you know, speaking of, you know, someone that could take up arms against their own government.
Well, yeah, if a militia actually took upon itself to start another civil war, that would be a reason to
Yeah. Well, look at all these secessionists and, Tim McVeigh types, really, that are, and particularly since, as she just pointed out, Obama's been in office. Just saying.
But going after individuals is kind of a
that's a little dicey.
Yeah.
Enemy combatants. We're not talking about like, oh, we think you might have a thought about something.
Are you talking about like a David Koresh or a Ruby Ridge? Are you talking about stuff like that too?
I'm talking about someone that takes up, as I said earlier, the way they defined it, I'll find it again, takes up arms against the United States, who is a combatant, an active
that's
combatant.
That's kind of a very loose definition. I mean, but
well, it's, an active combatant is not someone sitting in a cafe.
Some Len people would say the people at Ruby Ridge were taking up arms against the United States.
Len in North Carolina. Hello, Len.
Hey there, Steph. I got a couple of things. First of all, is there any way that we can impeach Ron Paul just for stupidity?
No. That's not an impeachable offense.
That's right. No.
Darn.
Otherwise, there would have been no George W. Bush administration.
Exactly.
Well, that's true. I called my congressman the other day after the sequestration because I wanted to know what kind of a hit the Congress was taking from the sequestration. And I had a staffer tell me that it was against the Constitution. It was constitutionally wrong for them to take any kind of a cut. And I hadn't heard about that, but I was just curious if you guys had thought about that.
Oh, to take a pay cut? Well, I think that's why someone, a Democratic senator, actually proposed them passing a law.
Yeah, but they can't. It's unconstitutional or something.
Unless they pass a law. They're able to pass laws. But anyway, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, look, everybody, it's the burning bush.
Is there something you're not telling us?
Itchy.
Scritch.
Did
you get it from Frank Langella?
Oh, no, Frank Langella, you bastard. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, looky here. Mook drone hypothetical. You're getting sleepy, going back in time. I see what you did there. You played Idaho.
My own private Ridge. Idaho, yeah.
All right, okay. You're getting sleepy. Okay, Tim McVeigh is in his bomb truck on the open highway, 50 minutes away from murdering 168 people, including 19 babies and little kids. The feds know from listening to A Goodbye Cruel World, Last Call to His Mom, that the truck's full of explosives. The president has a drone, is informed that the police are chasing the truck, but it's armored, they can't stop it. But this is the hypothetical past, and they have a drone. Should the president order a drone strike?
Yes.
Or does he call the AJ and get some lawyers to get a warrant?
You throw it on a spike strip.
Excuse me?
There's an idea. Spike strips. Yeah. Throw down a spike strip in front of the rider van.
What's a spike strip?
They put spikes to blow your tires.
Oh.
Right. See?
Maybe they don't have time to do that.
But they have time to call in a drone strike. Drones are fast.
Listen, you know what? Come on. Let's not fight.
This
it's Friday. Let's drink. Come on.
Making a living the fire took way.
That's right.
Shucking and jiving in Burbank way. I've been with Steph, Chris, and Jim, and Jackie so fine.
Drinking box wine.
Glug.
Great times, Fred and Matt take tower. They take step on their walks for hours.
Yeah.
They poop their and she says she's walking on sunshine. Drinking box wine.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
The spike strip would have prevented Timothy McVeigh from blowing up the building. A drone strike would have killed him before he did anything.
Uh-huh.
And so he's not really technically an enemy combatant yet.
All right, back to the happy clapping news. The U.S. added 236,000 jobs in February. Unemployment falls to 7.7%, the lowest level in more than 4 years. Economists had been predicting the economy to have 165,000 jobs with no movement in the rate. So,
We'll fix that. Fix that with the Obama question.
Right, exactly. Just in time for the Republicans to screw it up with the sequester. Thanks. Now this is why we can't have nice economic things.
Is that why?
I wonder what Rush Limbaugh will have to say today. These numbers are cooked, my friend. You'll see after the election. They're going to be revised downward.
Yeah, they'll be revised 4 years from now, Rush. Okay. Bless his heart. He's wrong.
Jay Carney.
Again and again, this president has moved towards Republicans in trying to find common ground in these negotiations.
A little too much, so, I think.
Talking about Paul Ryan.
As you know, the president believes that Chairman Ryan is a thought leader in the party.
Bad thoughts. By the way,
he had to say that, right?
Throughout the presidential campaign, Paul Ryan railed against the Medicare savings included in the Affordable Care Act, campaigned against President Obama's desire to increase marginal tax rates on the very wealthy, and promised that a Romney administration would offset the looming sequester. But next week, just 4 months after losing the November election, Ryan plans to unveil a budget that incorporates many of the policies he campaigned against. Since the very changes he opposed as a vice presidential candidate can now help him reach his goal of balancing the budget within 10 years. And also, vouchers are back. Back to Voucher Hospital for you.
It's premium support.
Yeah, with wings.
You get 20 cents off your next major surgery.
And the boner.
We went through months of campaign-style events all over the country. This week, we've gone 180. Now he's going to... After being in office now for 4 years, he's actually going to sit down and talk to members.
Oh, please. He has talked and talked and talked and reached out and reached out. You're the one that walked away from the Grand Barden because Eric Cantor gave you a bitch face and told you to. Well, looky here. Sometimes just the headline is...
That'll fix it.
Sometimes just the headline says it all. NRA official barred from carrying guns because of domestic violence. Yes, many the NRA members, when you just see Wayne LaPierre talk, you're like, that's a guy that shouldn't have a gun.
Yeah.
That guy. Richard DeLauro.
He's a bit cray-cray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The NRA's field representative in New York banned from carrying guns because of an order of protection arising from a confrontation with his now ex-wife in their Long Island home in 2010. Huh. Police confiscated 39 pistols, shotguns, and rifles that he kept in the home. Isn't that something?
What could possibly go wrong?
He admitted, he pled guilty and admitted that he intended to harass, annoy, or alarm his wife by subjecting her to physical contact. And what a nice guy.
This is why some people should not be allowed to have guns.
Some people like that guy. Okay. Annie in Santa Monica, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Annie.
Hi, morning, Mama.
Good
morning. Hey, I just have one thing to say about the drones. It kind of looks like Rand Paul just kind of held a shiny object up in the air and yelled, squirrel, and all the progressives starts running after him down the rabbit hole with
squirrel.
The drone program.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Medicare. They're going after our Social Security. They're going after the railroads. They're going after the post office. We have no jobs, wages. I could go on forever.
Yep.
And we're talking about drones from Rand Paul.
Yeah.
A what if? For 3 years, Obama's he's here for another 3.5 years. We can fix this, but right now there are so many things we have to address.
I agree with you. Yeah,
like
I agree with you.
Object.
Yeah, yeah, shiny object. Look, everybody. Squirrel chasing the drone.
He did bring back the actual filibuster.
Good. Let's hope that ushers that back in again. Harry Reid, get on it. Hello. Who's this? Wait a minute. Carry the four. Oh, Mark in Los Angeles. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, folks. How are you guys?
Good.
Stephanie, I'd like to be the official black pharmaceutical rep of your show.
Wow. We need one of those.
Thank you.
Hey, Stephanie, I don't mean to drone on about this, but...
By the way, I have a quick question for you. Is Cymbalta for me or not?
Okay. You'll have to ask your doctor about this. But the thing about it is, this is what we as liberals do. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. Number one,
just shot ourselves, right?
Yeah. False equivalence is the name of the game for the Republicans, and now we're playing it. I mean, the fact is, we're sitting here talking about the drone strike. A drone strike in Pakistan where an enemy combatant is somewhere we cannot get to them with our law enforcement, and the powers that be won't let us get to them with our law enforcement or with our military is crazy. Versus trying to compare it to someone sitting in a cafe where we can use law enforcement to actively pursue them. Using the thing you mentioned about Timothy McVeigh, the hypothetical, I mean... It's such an unwieldy and unruly hypothetical. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But there and a spike strip, we've seen it watching Cops. Anybody who watches Cops, we see how well those work. So the fact is, there are going to be times for us to just reel it in and say, what are we talking about here? This is a shiny object trying to draw our attention away from what's really happening and that the economy is still improving despite the sequester. And
well,
this is
the sequester, but that's last month's numbers. That's what's troubling is just when we are on our way, like the president's been saying.
I agree. And they're trying to take us away from noticing what's coming because they want to be able to blame it on the president. And we're talking about drones, and we're doing this to ourselves. When Cornel West calls the president a war criminal, Cornel West is someone I used to respect.
Oh,
he's losing his mind.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Lisa in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, one thing I want to say about drones is the only time that... that technology was used was back during World War I against miners on strike in West Virginia. The U.S. government dropped bombs on miners on strike in West Virginia. So it is a very dangerous thing to think about. But what I wanted to talk to you about is I live in Alabama.
We may have to Google that, but all right, go ahead.
No, not drones or airplanes.
Right, yeah, okay.
No, patented.
Oops, all right, we lost you, but okay. Glenda in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Ms. Miller, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question and follow the question up with the reason why, okay?
Okay.
I wanted to know if you thought that, it's 358, if you thought that perhaps the FCC was afraid of the Republican Party or full of the Republican Party. The reason that I ask is because I
wrote them an email and filled out their form online complaining that Fox News is not news, that they are a Republican propaganda machine.
Right.
And I cited that the conspiracy with Ells and Nixon and Murdoch, and they told, instead of charging Fox News, they want to charge Warner Cable and DirecTV, and they told me that I have no grounds for those charges against Fox News.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. Jim, let's go back to propaganda laws. Do you know anything about what can be considered?
No, I don't really know.
Yeah. If they could just put in quotes around news, I would be happy.
Yeah. Fox Opinion Channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Also, an alternative.
That would work.
Yes, exactly.
All
right.
It is sort of what,
false
what,
advertising.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
What that woman was referencing was the Battle of Blair Mountain, in which coal miners were trying to
unionize. There were a bunch of witches.
No.
And they had a project.
No, coal miners were trying to unionize, and there was a big uprising, and private planes were hired to drop homemade bombs on the miners, and it was a combination of gas and explosive bombs left over from fighting in World War One.
The government did?
Find that out.
We'll re-Google. Okay, 45 minutes after
well, no,
the hour.
I still have it up. It's just a long article.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up, the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Aha! 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, speaking of time, Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us that daylight savings time this weekend. Set your clock forward 1 hour Sunday, unless you're Antonin Scalia, in which case set it back 50 years. Hi! You see what he did there? He's there. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's see. Oh, Matthew with a good one. The extreme right will use the drone issue. We'll use the drone issue as a lever to pry the heads open of young, impressionable liberals and progressives. That's when they implant their ideas of government overreach into other aspects of our lives, thus supplying their cult with fresh young faces. The Iraq War was why Ron Paul was appealing to me in 2008. Then I followed down his kooky path for 3.5 years because he was right about this. Why couldn't he be right about everything else? I marched in 2008 for less government, voted for Rand Paul in Kentucky, even thought Alex Jones made a little sense at times. Uh-oh. It was at my worst mentally.
He did occasionally.
But. It wasn't until a series of events in my personal life and in the country, Gabby Giffords being shot, that snapped me out of the dangerous fog of paranoid delusions about government, I voted for President Obama for the first time in 2012. Young people starting to inform themselves of what's going on in the country should beware and not let issues like this send them down the wrong path. Thank you, Matthew. Why, looky who's calling. Where is her? Do we have a jingle of any sort?
Oh.
Because she hasn't called in a while. I'm just sort of curious what she has to say. Or not.
Maybe not.
Or not. Let's just say hello, Road Flair Mary from Chicago. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi. I just had a comment.
Okay.
All your callers, they bash Fox News because they say they bash the Democrats. What do you do? What does MSNBC do? Whatever the fun app is called. They're
MSNBC.
All stupids.
MSNBC.
Right.
Yeah. All they do is bash.
Well,
bash,
the problem is Fox News lies. They're demonstrably false.
The Democrats and the anointed one lies. And you know what?
You think that because you watch Fox News.
People aren't living off the government.
What does the president lie about?
Okay, everything.
No, that's a cop out.
People off the government are starting to wake up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, God. Is that Turtle Head over there?
What did you call him?
Turtle Head. He has no neck. Where does neck go?
Oh.
And he's always stuffing his face.
With food that Stephanie hands me.
Oh, and another thing. His impressions. You know what? Get another job.
All right. You know what? You're going to buy. You know what? I can pick on my own moocs, but not you can't. How dare you? Why, I never...
Your impressions are very good.
Your impressions are spectacular. What? Because he does such an eerie Mitch McConnell impression? That's not his own no-neck. That's Mitch McConnell's no-neck, I'll have you know, Mary. All right. She just wanted to get in her anointed one thing. That's her thing. Yeah. All right. It's Friday, everybody.
What?
Yes! He's here early. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Wow, it's pretty hard to follow Mary, I got to say.
Yeah, Mary's always a delight.
The anointed one. Do you love these people who all have Ronald Reagan love dolls talking about Obama worship and the anointed one? It's so quaint. The anointed one. You know, I wish you guys had asked her, name one line the president's told. Then we could have gotten into specifics and her head would have exploded.
We did ask her, and she didn't seem to have any.
No.
She didn't.
My impacted colon tells me he's a socialist.
And by the way, he's the elected one twice.
Right.
Yes.
So. Bring me a funnel and some high fructose corn syrup so I can blame the blacks for my kids hating me.
Okay, let's go.
I am hate. I am an id with skin stretched over it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I mean that in a positive way.
Oh, absolutely.
Sweet. Rich in Ohio, you're on with John. Hi, Rich.
Hey, this is my first time.
Okay. I'll be gentle.
Relax. Relax.
Just relax. The drone thing, it's not a real big deal. I mean, every president since Kennedy has basically loved his CIA and special forces. But more so, Rand Paul up there yapping about, you know, especially at the end, not breaking Strom Thurmond's record, which, by the way, he should have added the racist Rand or Strom Thurmond.
He could have gone longer if he talked about the things he agreed with Strom Thurmond on, right?
That's true. Yeah. Considering the cable news.
He already does agree with the things Strom Thurmond talks with stood for. But, you know,
he should have manned up and wore a diaper like Strom Thurmond did, right?
Yeah, I mean, wear a diaper if you need to, catheterize.
When you consider how many cable news networks are being propped up by catheter commercials at this point, guy with the mustache and the catheter ad, who's his agent? He gets so much airtime.
You know what he has that he couldn't beat the Strom Thurmond's record, John? He obviously has low T.
Mm-hmm.
Not watching all the.
And if you don't want to kill the guy in the low T commercial, you might have low T.
That's right. Maggie in Indiana, you're on with John. Hey, Maggie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to. I'm a first-time caller, but I wanted to say what a wimp Rand Paul was, because he cried about standing there for 12 hours and talking. There are plenty of people in this country that stand at their jobs for 12 hours and work a line. I'm a hairdresser. I work 12 hours sometimes, standing there doing work, not just talking.
And having to listen to all our stupid conversation where we're sitting in those chairs, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's like a 12-hour filibuster every day. Blah, 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 your husband, your boyfriend, whatever.
And the worst is when the Republicans get in there and start talking, and I cannot say a word. It is so frustrating, and I have to come
home. Be honest,
home.
Maggie. Do you give them a little bit of a bad haircut? If you're in a bad mood, just a little, you slip a little bit.
No, my customers are not Republicans.
Okay.
I mean, most of them are not. So, but I stand between two girls that are Republicans, and they get everything so wrong, and they listen to Fox News, and that's all I have to hear. Is
you're like, can't we turn these hair dryers up to 11 so I can't hear you? La, 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 la.
No, really, the Capuchin monk hairstyle is coming back.
Sure.
Of course it is.
Good look for you.
Of course it is. John Fugelsang.
Yes.
I understand you did a delightful poem. Will you be gracing us with that next hour?
Anytime you want, yes. It's my Dr. Seuss tribute to Rand Paul and Rand Paul's whole record on civil liberties, not just his record on drones, not killing Americans, which everyone already agrees with.
All right. Thank you. Andy in New York, you're on with John. Hello, Andy.
Hey, thanks for having me. To go on record, I voted for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Rand Paul is a deeply problematic figure. Rand Paul specifically tried to strip one of my close friends of their press credentials in D.C. And he goes and tries to have this public face of being an advocate for civil liberties, and yet he's trying to strip people's press credentials. So I think it's deeply hypocritical that he's trying to pander to this kind of, I don't know how to put it, conspiratorial base in regards to drones.
He has the freedom to take away other people's freedom.
It's not,
exactly. And what deeply saddens me in the whole process is that it's Rand Paul bringing these arguments and not someone more measured with more of a level head bringing these arguments, because we do have a problem for the past 15 years or so of prosecutorial instruments in this country
becoming more and more overbroad.
Yeah, well, I agree. These hypotheticals, well, John, we'll talk about this next hour. A little ridiculous. What if Michael Moore is in the ball jump at Chuck E. Cheese with his kids? And
There's lots of problems with the drone policy. Rand is the wrong spokesman.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. Speaking of which, Melissa in Marshall, North Carolina, Sexy Liberal Nirvana, smells like Steph's spirit. Dear Steph, coming to Chicago for the big show. My son, such a brilliant, thoughtful boy, is taking Mom to Sexy Liberal for her birthday. You're the gift that just keeps on giving. See you at the fabulous Chicago Theater. You'll know me from my birthday glow. Melissa's got a good boy. Her son's a good boy. Frederick, Chicago. Going fast, John Fugelsang. Going fast, April 13th at Chicago Theater.
That's going to be a great show. You, me, Hal, it's going to be fantastic. I'm so thrilled to go back to this theater and bring a ton of new material and get my sexy on with all those freaks you call fans in Chicago and the Midwest.
Right.
How dare you, man? Right. How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
How dare you be that sexy, that moral at the same time?
Oh,
how dare
stop
you?
It. You're making me hot. You I was laughing about how funny your John Boner skit was, but I was saying that you are so white that just looked like a normal tan on you. I know you were because you are nearly translucent in real life.
It looked like how after that vacation I took to Chernobyl, actually. I had radiation sickness. But, yeah, we do, Frank Conniff and I now do this thing, Meet the Press Reenactment Theater, where we show David Gregory asking a tough question and then a limp follow-up question before changing the subject. And so it got a lot of traction this week, and I'm sure it's going to really help me with...
John Spence finally got some time in the sun. He won't be on the new Twilight series. Oh, no, he's doing a boner skit.
That is not true.
Funny.
All y'all listening to this need to watch the sketch and see I look like an orange freak. It's not true. I look like I just huffed Cheeto dust with John Boehner. My impression will never match Jim's. I don't really go for that. I go for just drunken licentiousness. But
who doesn't?
I have the exact right color of a freaky orange tan.
There
mom.
You go. There you go. Now your Rand Paul poem. Do you need any music for this? Any poetry?
Oh no,
music?
No. I can just give it to you right
okay.
now.
Okay,
yeah.
Right,
whip it out.
Do you
want,
you really want to hear this? This
whip
is from last
out.
Night's viewpoint, but this will be the first radio performance.
Okay.
Because you know, after Rand did his filibuster, which I give him some credit for, stand with Rand is what everyone was saying.
Okay.
So this is called I Stand with Rand. I Stand with Man, the filibuster man on the issue at hand. The drones unmanned, which kill on command. Must forever be banned on American land. I stand with Rand. I stand with Rand. McConnell's too bland and Boehner's too tanned, but Rand's the man with a libertarian plan with more freedom and liberty than you can stand. But there's one thing, friends, that I can't understand. If Senator Paul's the civil liberties man, as he claimed to be when he took his brave stand, why do so many liberties not fit in Rand's plan? Because marriage equality, Rand just cannot stand. He says he wants freedom for all in the land, but not for a man who wants to marry a man? So if Senator Rand was running this land and told those gay partners they'd have to disband, well, then what part of freedom can't Rand understand? There's a law for disabled Americans. It was signed into law by George Bush Sr.'s hand. But sorry, you folks in that handicapped van, Rand thinks it was wrong that we gave you a hand. We had a Civil Rights Act signed in 64, and it stopped segregation of the white and black man, which upset many a Grand Ku Klux Klan wizard's plan. But Senator Rand thinks the act should be panned, that the government man had no right to expand his ideas of equality throughout the land, and impose it on that racist white businessman forcing restaurants to serve blacks was a bit out of hand. He don't hate civil rights. It's the principle, man. The government shouldn't be allowed to command what people can't do and what people can, unless you're a woman who's pregnant, unplanned. Well, then Senator Rand thinks the government can. Because if you seek abortion, safe, on demand, because that choice is between you and your doctor, ma'am, Senator Rand has a quite different plan, and the government's powers will just have to expand. That choice should be made not by you, but a man.
Yay!
But now don't get me wrong, Senator Rand. I really like your stand on drones, man. I agree that the drug war should really be banned, and your father, Ron Paul, as the head of your clan, opposed the Iraq War, took a brave stand in that oversized suit that he wore when he ran, looking like David Byrne from that Talking Heads band. But if you're selling yourself as the Liberty Man, while doubting the Disability Act can be justified under Ayn Rand's master plan, if marriage equality just cannot stand and the Civil Rights Act must be garbage canned, well then, frankly, my dear, Rand just don't give a damn. Thank you.
Yay! Lighters, where are our lighters?
Oh, it's the Poetry Slam Arena crowd.
Somewhere Ted Geisel was smiling.
Yes. It was his birthday last weekend, so that's a little Susie and homage.
That was spectacular, my friend.
Well, thank you, my dear. Sometimes the hypocrisy is so thick you have to go Seuss on them.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go Seuss on his ass. You know, interesting you brought up marriage equality, which is a big, absolutely a talk about freedom. You were saying, Chris, this morning that Bill Clinton had some thoughts on DOMA.
Yeah, he said the reason that he signed DOMA was to prevent the Republicans from getting an actual constitutional amendment through. And so he said it was a stopgap that he actually would hope would be repealed at some point. And he said that point is today.
He said it
had a bit to do with his reelection, too, his reelection against Bob Dole. I mean, if he had come out in favor of gay marriage and hadn't gone the homophobic route, it would have helped Dole, arguably hurting gay Americans more.
Bob Dole thinks, man, doesn't work.
It's fruity.
It's a fruitcake.
Yeah.
Right. Please, let's be nice to Bob Dole. He's George McGovern next to these guys in there.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of,
it looks like bogey. So.
Yeah. Opposition to same-sex marriage narrow and concentrated, study finds. Exit polls, other surveys from last year's election suggest resistance to same-sex marriage is shrinking and mainly concentrated among certain segments of the population: older people, white evangelical Christians, and
Fox viewers,
non-college-educated whites. All right. Voters aged 65 and older expressed opposition to allowing such union by a 21-point margin, 37% supporting 58.
You know what?
Those younger than 65 favored them by 8 points, 52% to 44%. White evangelical Christians oppose same-sex marriage, John, by 3-1, but every non-evangelical group, other white Protestants, white Catholics, Hispanic Catholics, African-American non-evangelicals, and Jewish voters expressed support for such unions.
So pretty much nobody.
By double-digit margins.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, African-American voters who describe themselves as evangelical or born again narrowly divided, with 45% saying they should recognize same-sex marriage, 47% saying they should not. Another pocket of opposition, the pollster said, white voters who do not have a college education, 40% support same-sex marriage, 56% oppose it. So, yeah, it is becoming a really, you know, what narrow and concentrated, as the study says.
That's right,
John?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and again, it's like you can't stop progress. You know, if Prop 8 was coming up today, it would never pass.
Yeah.
In 2000, the banned gay marriage thing passed by, 20 points? Then in 2008, Prop 8 passed by, much less than that? So, you know, it's just the arc of decency moves forward. And the more people get to know that they don't hate people, that these gay Americans aren't creeps in an alley, it's their brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. Even Dick Cheney's a hero on this issue.
Yeah, and you know what's going to finally put us over the top?
What?
This picture right here of Matt Damon and Michael Douglas as Liberace and his lover.
Yeah, I got that.
Liberace and his lover. What is not
about that
picture?
That's going to make me join the Republican Party.
I got that issue of Entertainment Weekly yesterday, and I'm like, wow, that's gay.
I wish
my brother George was here.
It's Beyond the Candelabra. I can't not wait to see this, the TV movie for HBO, directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Damon and Douglas revealed there were some sort of explicit gay sex scenes.
Ooh.
He does. Damon recalls laughing, the scene where I'm behind him.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Going at him. We did that in one take. We do it, cut. There's a long pause. Then you just hear Steven go, well, I have no notes.
Okay, that's done.
Soderbergh, okay. Soderbergh admitted the film was rejected by several studios for being too gay.
Yeah.
Oh, is there somebody that thought a movie about Ken Liberace would not be that gay?
No, it's not gay enough.
Put him up a little
bit.
But
you know what? Kudos to HBO for taking it on, so to speak.
Exactly.
As it were.
That and Phil Spector.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, I can't wait for that movie.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
The billboards that are all around with
it's
Robert
huge
De Niro.
In Times Square. No, with Al Pacino.
Al Pacino,
Phil Spector. Yeah, David Mamet wrote and directed that, too.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I saw a 1950s TV guide cover that said, when will Liberace marry?
Wrong. He's such a committed bachelor. And here's more proof, John, that straight marriage never works. Demi Moore demanding spousal support from Ashton.
Uh-huh.
and she's worth way more money than him. She's got money up the wazoo, says a source.
Upper she doesn't have the income, though.
And
she doesn't have the income.
Millions more than Ashton.
But he's got he makes that now
no,
doing
just the
two and a half laughs.
Money. That's what that is.
Two and a half laughs.
She has more money up there than cream corn.
Right? Exactly.
No chance that I'm going to roll around right. naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very
good.
Oh,
is that dialogue from Striptease?
Yes, it
yes.
is.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Actual dialogue.
That's where she made a lot of that bank. Okay.
I think she was very, very smart not to file for divorce until he had signed the deal for two and a half laughs.
Hey, look, it's a story about what a douche nozzle Chris Brown is. Is anyone surprised?
Mm. Wow.
What? Chris Brown having anger issues. Anybody see that coming? No? No? Turned his anger issues on a valet parker at a bowling alley in L.A. the other night, cussing a guy out over a $10 service charge.
You don't understand him! Stop hating!
Sorry. Am I lucky?
That happened like 12 hours ago, Stephanie. It's ancient history.
Sorry.
So I'm doing my impression of every Chris Brown fan on Twitter.
Yeah.
TMZ caught it on tape, sadly, for him. Oh,
I'm trying to think of what bowling alley around here has valet.
Studio City, there was an event. Pins.
Oh, wow.
They were having a charity event.
They don't usually
I will say, for Chris Brown's credit, when he was berating the valet, he didn't lip-sync any of it.
No. See what you did there? Okay.
$10? That's outrageous. I won't pay it.
Attention, Star Wars geek.
Oh, it's a great story.
George Lucas revealed plans in motion for the seventh Star Wars film, which could feature Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher.
Which
seven.
Will.
Seven, just saying.
Cool. I think Carrie Fisher kind of confirmed that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
And George pretty much confirmed it accidentally.
Accidentally. It's like the Palm Beach Post or something like that, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Wow, Harrison Ford is going to be in everything. He's going to be in Anchorman 2.
That's awesome.
Discussed. Steve Carell also says...
Stay classy, San Diego.
Meryl Streep might have a cameo in the film.
From what we've heard, it's going to be a cameo fest.
Yeah, Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, Christina Applegate, Kristen Wiig, Harrison Ford. Sounds like I love Anchorman. I can't wait. Sounds like a fabulous cast.
Too bad, Nick.
Why am I turning into Jiminy Glick? I don't know.
Why am I turning into Jiminy Glick? It's so strange. When I'm talking about celebrities, I just want to go down to my lower register.
Okay. All right. That's Jay Leno thing. It's the same thing. I don't know what that's about.
Can I do the juggling thing down here?
Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Like a mime walking down the stairs.
Yeah.
But vocally. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look. The two symbols of the Republican Party. An elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That's it?
Yep.
Just beat it?
Yep. Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good
great
to know.
Song.
Any 2 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugelson is that sultry voice in the New York Bureau.
That's right.
You can catch John hosting Viewpoint on the current television network every night, right?
What a show we got going. We had Valerie Plame on the other night and Bill Bradley, and then we had on a brand new game show called Ask a Tea Partier, where I invited a conservative Republican and a Democrat to come on and ask tough questions of a crazy
cool.
Tea Party lady.
Wow.
From down south. Yeah, we're like really doing some fun stuff, and then having the smart Robert Reich is on every week, Cabot's on every week, and... we are really turning this into something that is pretty special.
Is that allowed on the TV?
Dozens and dozens of viewers who can still get it. It's a very special thing.
Janie in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Janie.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, Mooks.
Hey. Hi, go ahead.
What's up?
I have an anger issue with Road Flair Mary, and I just want to say how dare she... how very dare she diss our Jim Ward there.
That's right.
Yeah.
The mooks are, it's like saying something about my mother. Like, you don't, That's my job.
People eating food from breakfast. Who does that?
Please understand, that's not her. That's her addiction to huffing hate in a paper bag behind an alley.
Thank you, Janie.
I just want to say I love you all, and I love John's new show. It's absolutely stunning.
Thank you. We're trying.
Good work, John.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Aww. We're trying to keep it really smart and serious in the first half and then completely undo that in the second. It's
is that allowed on TV? I don't...
Well, but Dick Cavanaugh, yeah.
James in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, James.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
I just got a little problem with all these Obama big-time supporters. You know, they're as bad as the George Bush people, you know? For years and years and years, people ran around talking about how great George Bush was, and he wasn't none.
Who was that now?
Rock.
Right.
Know,
go on. Go on.
Obama's the same thing. He might
how
be
so?
A little bit different. How so?
Yeah.
Let's
how many? How many soldiers are dead because Barack Obama invaded a country that never attacked us?
Okay, good point. But how many soldiers are dead because Barack Obama didn't pull the troops out like he said he did?
He
has pulled the troops out like he said he would.
There's a big question. Next question.
What?
He has pulled the troops out of Iraq,
and he's drawing down in Afghanistan.
John, let me talk.
Right. He's pulling down. But he didn't do what he said he was going to do.
He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He got us out of Iraq, and he finished the job with Osama bin Laden. Now he's drawing down in Afghanistan.
4 years later, and he wouldn't have got Obama.
He didn't say he was going to take all the troops out immediately.
Yes, he most certainly did.
Oh, he did not.
No, he didn't.
No, he
now
didn't.
You're making stuff
yes,
up, mister.
No, I'm not.
How can you look at where the Dow was when Obama took office and where the Dow is now and make the claims you're making?
Of course, if you feed it, of course it's going to do something. You think it's stable? No. Look how much money he spends.
How much money he spends? The deficit has gone down under Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's the lowest
it's
growth.
It's the lowest level of government spending since Eisenhower.
That's a lie.
No, it's not. It's not a lie. Is it Forbes, man? It's the lowest growth. No, sir. It's the lowest growth in government spending. And keep in mind, a lot of the spending of Obama that you don't like is him paying for George Bush's dine and dash on these wars he never paid for.
And also, the unemployment rate is at the lowest in 4 years. Did you hear that today?
Did I hear that today? I don't believe that for one minute.
You don't believe that?
Get these facts out of my face, you freedom hater.
Next you're going to tell me the earth is round. Come on, you'd fall off if it were round. Everyone knows that.
So I just reported the breaking news that the unemployment rate has dropped to 7.7.
That's a lie.
We added 236,000.
Oh, and you believe that? You believe that?
Numbers lie. Math is a liberal plot.
Okay.
It's cyclical. It has to get better and worse. But when it gets better, it's a lie.
Okay. Kelly in Virginia, you're on with John. Hi, Kelly.
Oh, my God. You guys are cracking me up today.
Wow.
Every time you guys talk about Brian Kilmeade, all I can think of is the slow Loris's face. Every time you talk about
him.
Right.
Ball.
Everything is a surprise. The rice ball is continually a surprise. Every bite he takes.
The reason I called was, excuse me. About the minimum wage, I'm all for minimum wage. And I actually heard that somebody was trying to raise it to $10.10.
Ah, that's outrageous.
Well,
oh, yes, it's terrible. God forbid we actually make money, spend it, and pay more taxes to bring our revenue up, right?
There you go. Oh, look at you being smart with your facts and numbers. Crazy. All right, let's go to Richard in Pennsylvania. You're on with John. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I have a thought on Rand Paul. I think the president is using reverse psychology. I don't think he wants drone strikes, and he has entrapped Republicans into speaking out against him.
Yeah.
I think they fell into it. He doesn't want drone strikes. If he would have come out and said we ought to have drone strikes on our soil to American citizens, the Republicans would have reacted against it.
Yeah, well, you could be right. Maybe that's why Lindsey Graham reacted as he did.
He always reacts that way.
Hey, that's my favorite Tennessee Williams character. Watch what you say there.
Sorry. My bad. Joe in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Joe has some examples of Obama lies. All right, go ahead, Joe.
All right, well, in reference to your caller a while ago, during the first campaign for President Barack Obama, he said that he was going to close Guantanamo Bay.
Ah, well, yes.
That's
right.
Not a lie. That's
that wasn't
he tried
a lie.
To do.
That's one thing he tried to do when he didn't get enough votes, including Democratic votes.
Wait. Let's not say what he tried to do. Let's ask what he said. He said, I will.
He didn't lie, sir. He didn't get enough votes, including Democrats.
Wait a minute.
The president's not a king.
Wait a minute.
The president's not a dictator.
Listen, I know, but what did he say? A lie is not what you do or what you talk about or what you can or can't do. A lie is what you say, and if you say comes true, what you say comes true. He
Hang
said,
on a second,
I
sir. If I wait a second, sir. If I tell my kid I'm going to buy him a Star
Wars,
sir.
Debate, he was gonna
if I tell my son I'm buying,
sir.
If I tell a child I'm buying him a Star Wars toy for Christmas and the toy sold out and I can't get it to him, did I lie?
Yes, you're a big liar, Daddy. You're a liar, Daddy.
Liar.
Logic in your face.
I'm trying to use the phone!
All right, right back on the...
No, you are, but what am I?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is judgmental, sanctimonious, and frankly, just obnoxious. So,
stop talking about Road Flare Mary that way.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Joined now by Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, way good news on unemployment, right? The numbers out today, the unemployment rate has dropped to 7.7. We added 236,000 jobs last month. Just in time for the sequester to ruin everything, right? Right?
Right. I mean, our economy is making a recovery steadily, but the sequester could undermine it all.
Well, I hate to say it, but boy, it seems like that's something the Republicans don't seem to mind at this point. How do you see this playing out?
Well, it looks like we are not making progress on the sequester. In fact, I really think Republicans aren't doing their job, which is why we have no solutions to sequestration and why we need this continuing resolution, which merely continues on the plans that we made in fiscal year 2012, plans made 15 to 18 months ago.
Yeah, well, and Representative, we've had actually, you know, real people calling the show this morning that are really feeling the pain of the sequestration. A woman called, her husband works on a railroad. I mean, this is not a hypothetical, is it?
It is not. This will literally take food out of the mouths of hungry mothers and children, 600,000 of them from the Women and Infant Children Program. The security lines at LAX could take 4 hours during peak traffic times as if waits aren't bad enough.
Representative, do you think the president, you know, obviously having meals and meeting with people on the other side of the aisle, is it going to have any effect, do you think?
I do think he's doing the appropriate thing. The CR was passed by the House, and now there are 2 weeks before March 11th. So he's doing the outreach that he needs to do in order to reach some sort of compromise.
So what happens March 11th?
Well, March 27th.
27th, excuse
yeah,
me.
March
right.
27th is when the sequestration would take place. If there's nothing that is passed and the government is indeed shut down, but at least the Republicans are making the gesture to continue government. Nonetheless, we should actually be proactive because plenty of laws have passed since then, such as health care reform, and we need to have updated plans for spending on these.
You know, aren't, you know, these latest, whether you look at the stock market numbers or you look at these latest unemployment numbers, Representative, isn't this enough evidence that the president's policies are working? And if they really want to even pretend that they're interested in helping the country, they ought to come to some accommodation with him?
Yes, I do think that his plans have shown that they are working. And sequestration could make us slide backwards. All the economists say that if these $85 billion worth of cuts go through, then our gross domestic product, our GDP, could slide backwards.
Well, and I was looking at, what was it? They're estimating we could lose 750,000 jobs.
Yes, absolutely. The effect on so many aspects of our life could be very devastating. For instance, just in education, we would lose so much from programs such as the Disabilities Education Act, from Title I, which is for low-income children, from Head Start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it really is. Even when you have even Republicans agreeing these are dumb cuts and they're not done, I just don't see where we're going with this and on what time frame.
Exactly. We should not be using this meat axe. We should be using a scalpel, and we should make thoughtful cuts in order to reduce the deficit, but not this kind of approach, which will take away the most
important and sensitive areas of our federal government.
But, I mean, the problem is, you know, as the president said, we can't govern lurching from crisis to crisis. That being said, we're going to keep governing lurching from crisis to crisis, aren't we? Because it doesn't seem like the Republicans you see anything in it for them.
Yes, we have to stop it. But I tell you, the public plays a big role. When the public becomes outraged, then the Republicans do have to act. Just look at the most amazing thing that happened this past week, which was the signing of VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act.
Right.
We were stuck for so long, and finally, because of the outrage of the public, they allowed for that vote to go through, and I just attended the signing ceremony yesterday.
You know, that's a really good point, Representative, and also it looks like, you know, at least something on guns, something on immigration. I mean, you know, it does make you wonder. I mean, with the economy being the number one thing and jobs on the American people's mind, you're like, why can't we get something done on that? Do you think getting something done on these other issues will move us closer to getting something done on the economy?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think that people kind of are still in a fuzz about what sequester is. And I think that until they see the actual effects, they will not have the outrage that they do with guns and the Violence Against Women Act and immigration. So we need to get that awareness out there in the public.
And I think it can't be said enough, right? Call your representatives, let them know how you feel. Because, as I say, a lot of people calling today saying, this is really hurting me and my family, these budget cuts. And, you know, we have to call and say, look, if you want these unemployment numbers to continue rather than go the other way, you've got to bring pressure to bear, right?
Exactly. And there's so many common sense things that we could do to have a balanced approach to our budget. We could reduce the subsidies to big oil and gas. We could implement the Buffett rule, which would make for a fairer tax system. These things are common sense approaches.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Chu, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking time for us, and keep on fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much.
All right, there she goes. Representative Judy Chu of the great state of California.
That's right, right here, SoCal.
Cut some comedy music. Why?
Right
because
away.
Annie Borowitz is funny.
Uh-oh.
Poll, majority of Americans opposed to being killed by a drone. In a possible setback for the administration's controversial drone policy, a new poll shows a broad majority of Americans are opposed to being killed by a drone strike on U.S.
Shocking.
Soil. The poll showed a 97% of those surveyed strongly agree with the statement, I personally do not want to be killed by a drone. With 3% responding, don't know, no opinion. There's no other way to interpret these numbers, said the pollster. The idea of being killed by a drone not playing well out there. And while the poll numbers may not augur well for the administration's expanding of drones, the response was even more negative in a focus group of likely drone victims. One member of that group, a 43-year-old male from St. Paul, complained, it doesn't even seem like the government is trying to come up with alternatives to killing us with drones. It seems like they could figure out some kind of system where instead of just being killed by a drone, people could maybe present evidence to see if they're guilty or not. At the White House, spokesman Jay Carney tried to make the best of the poll results, telling reporters, look, people are afraid of getting killed by a drone. We get that. But there is still broad public support for killing for drones killing someone else. John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau of Sexy Liberal Incorporated.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The house that love built.
Hello. Exactly. You're on with Patricia in Maryland on the drone topic. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I was listening to Randy yesterday, and she was saying a lot of states have the drones. American citizens should be worried about the states with the drones rather than the president.
Yeah. I think I heard
exactly
that.
Exactly right.
And then also she said that he told.
I'd be more afraid of Joe Arpaio with a drone, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he told. And he has asked. He made it. I think he made it public. So they would write a law forbidding him from doing that. That's another reason why because Bush did it. I don't know whether people knew that Bush did it or not, because she also said that Bush killed 53 people by drones. So, I mean, we're worried about the wrong person with a drone. We need to be worried about, like you said, Gerald Powell and Kasich and Scott Walker and all the rest of those crazy people.
Yep.
We all got a constitutional right to bear drones.
Can Wayne be LaPierre press conference be far away, John? Yes, we all ought to have them now.
Can I promo someone that's coming up on the show on Monday?
Yes, indeed you can.
Linda Carter, Wonder Woman herself.
In Captain America's Underpants with us.
Yeah. Is she going to wear the outfit? No. She's not going to be in studio with us. But, yeah, she's going to be calling in during this hour on Monday. So
Jim, that was highly inappropriate.
I got to meet Linda Carter at CNN a few months ago. She's got it going on.
She does.
Sorry she's not in studio. Believe me.
Yeah.
Albert in Tucson, you're on with John. Hey, Albert.
Morning, Mama Mooks and John.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask a question in all respect to Representative Chu, but Congress, the cuts for the sequester supposedly do not apply to Congress because when Congress passes a law to either raise or lower their salaries, it can only apply to the next Congress.
The next Congress, right.
But the sequester was passed in the last Congress, so why doesn't it apply to them now?
Thoughtful chin scratch.
I would probably have to read the sequester bill, and
I got time. I'll just be honest. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
No.
So,
it's Friday.
I'm not going to drink instead.
Right.
Of course, if you have insomnia, reading that will
definitely
put you under. Oh,
yeah. Justin in Maryland, you're on with John. Hi, Justin.
Hey, John. Hey, guys.
John,
love the poem. I just wanted to say, why would anybody expect fast and firm domestic policy regarding drones when we can't even get sound policy on gun safety? And what is a drone but a big flying gun? I mean,
A big flying robot gun. You'd think these
people
have seen the Terminator
films.
Yeah,
a big flying sophisticated gun. And I mean, you know, I just don't see any kind of policy regarding drones coming anytime soon. I mean, we're just admitting that yes, we have a drone program.
Right,
well,
we've had one. Yeah, we've had one for a while. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not really my problem with it. My problem with it is you know, threefold. I call it the MIB problem, like Men in Black. Number one, militant. The way that, according to our Pentagon, and again, this is our government's policy now, anyone who's killed that's a male over 18 is considered a militant, whether they were or not. If you're visiting your uncle and the bomb goes off, you're counted as a militant, and that's how the Pentagon dishonestly keeps civilian casualties low. Then I, of course, is for imminent. The imminent threat part about it, well, if the government thinks that someone might be a threat in 10 years, they consider that imminent. It's a real abuse of language, and they can do it.
Right,
and
but
then
they're
finally,
not saying, I don't think he used imminent. He used an active combatant.
No, our policy states that we're allowed to do this to people who are an imminent threat. But the Pentagon's policy, you can Google this, it's unfortunate. This is one of the things I'm pushing back on, is that anyone they think might be a threat down the line counts as imminent. Again, it's just like militant. Yes. They're abusing the language, and you're right. And then finally, it's the blowback, because every time a drone kills one America hater, it creates a couple hundred new America haters who are in the same neighborhood, and it isn't always the most efficient way to do
it. I asked this earlier. Why are we focusing on the kind of weapon when obviously American bombs and regular warfare have killed how many civilians throughout history?
Listen, I am not disputing that this is the new normal, and whether liberals like it or not, this is how war is going to be prosecuted from now on. It's going to be keeping boots off the ground. It's going to be safer for American military lives, whether
we've had a lot of military people call in, you know.
But absolutely. But I'm just saying the program is still in its early years, and there's some things that could be done that could be more honest.
We had one soldier that said, I wish we'd had drones in Vietnam. And Jim actually made a better point. He said, I wish we didn't have Vietnam.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
would be a better solution.
Exactly.
Okay,
at
46.
Some point,
46
killing
minutes,
these people isn't going to work anymore.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Friday was John Fugel saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, we were saying Linda Carter,
yes.
Wonder Woman, is going to be on the show on Monday.
That's right. Smoking
and also,
hot still.
Yeah.
She's going to be co-hosting The Talk on CBS with Aisha Tyler on Tuesday.
Sexy liberal.
Smoking hot.
And Jim said.
What'd you say?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
All right.
RoboCop.
My friend sends me the headline, Colorado creates a special legislative marijuana committee. It's actually a joint committee.
Oh, hey.
Committee.
So when
when you see it's a giant committee, Three? It's like a double, I forget.
Okay. All right. John Fugelsang, one of our causes, you recall, Boston Sexy Liberal, Elizabeth Warren for Senate.
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Oh, awesome.
You mean the next president of the United States?
Hello, Elizabeth Warren. How awesome an ass-kicking is she being on the big banks, et cetera?
So great.
Really wonderful.
Somebody's got to do it.
Attorney General Eric Holder suggested Wednesday some financial institutions have become too large and are escaping full-fledged prosecution as a result. Who could have said that? Who could have said? I know. Future President Elizabeth Warren said that.
Wow, that'd be great.
Holder told
lawmakers.
Really
make Republicans' heads explode.
Yeah.
He is concerned that some institutions have become so massive and influential that bringing criminal charges against them could imperil the financial system and the broader economy. His remarks come as a growing number of lawmakers had suggested big banks are effectively too big to jail.
Yeah, it's called blackmail.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but she was out front first saying that kind of
stuff,
right?
She was.
Because she's hot.
Okay. You meant that in a policy
way. Yeah, not in a Linda Carter kind of way.
Right, no.
That's right.
Okay.
Tara. Actual liberals in Senate use as director.
Tara in California, you're on with John and Company. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
First, I have a quick comment. I'm never sure if I get cut off because you don't like my commentary or I'm far too radical. But
that's
then
it.
After listening to Mary, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. But I want to make a quick comment that just to piggyback on Representative Chu's comments, the public plays a critical role here.
Right.
Just because we voted him in does not mean our job is over.
That's right.
The fight has just begun, in my opinion, and the last comment is, talk about a dream team. Clinton and
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
How about, I know, for how could we ever do that? Two women on a ticket? How awesome would that be?
God, would that be incredible? And the only other thing that would trump that would be Clinton, Obama, Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Still two chicks. All right.
Yeah. We did have a war with England to get away from inherited power as a government system. So remember that when it's Bush-Clinton next year.
Mike and
Jeb Bush was eating it this morning on Scarborough. Man, he is so not ready for what he's about to do.
Oh, really?
Why?
What was he doing?
He's not ready. He's trying to explain his incredible, epic flip-flop on immigration. More or less. He's on a book tour. He's saying, buy my book. But what I said in the book, that was months ago, I wrote that. But I don't mean anything in it anymore. The reality is, Jay, it's like, because they've realized that being more open to immigration reform tests better than sucking up to the Latino voting base.
Right.
And it's so going to be great to watch Jeb, whose whole strategy, and it's a strategy to redeem the family name, is to run as the electable moderate and show that Mitt Romney trying to be a right-winger didn't work. And let the Tea Party eat each other, and then it'll be a two-horse race between him and Chris Christie. The problem is, Chris Christie will eat Jeb Bush.
That's right.
Jeb is
literally ready.
He will literally eat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, which lends to the question, why should I buy the piece of crap book then, if you don't stand by anything you just wrote in it a few months ago, right?
Exactly.
All right. Mike in Ohio.
Buy my book and ignore the content.
Yes. Mike in Ohio, you're on with John. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing
today?
Good.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm kind of switching gears and going back to the minimum wage issue.
Please.
I'm a small business owner, and I don't see the benefit in raising the minimum wage. Basically, what happens when the minimum wage gets raised for myself, I either have to find a way to make up that cost. I either have to raise prices, or I have to reevaluate everybody's hours and possibly cut people. I don't see the benefit.
Wait, say that one more time.
I'm sorry. When the minimum wage rises, what I have to do as a business owner is I either have to raise the prices, or I'm going to have to possibly cut people back a few hours.
How much do you have to raise prices by? How much do you have to raise prices by to cover that?
Well, if you look at the minimum wage, I have between 20 and 25 employees. If the minimum wage goes up to $9 or $10 an hour, you know, that's either a 15 or 20% spike.
Let me ask you, would increasing the minimum wage increase the buying power of your customers?
No, it wouldn't, because if you think about it, you know, I live in a smaller town. You know, there's about 2,500 people in that town. You know, if we have 1,000, you know, probably not 1,000, probably 500 people on minimum wage in that town, minimum wage goes up, there's going to be less people working because someone's going to have to cut back somewhere. So you're going to have less people with a little bit more money, but more people with not any money.
First of all, you're extrapolating that every business owner is going to do what you do.
No, not every business owner is going to do that. But, you know, right now it is hard economic times out there. I know they say things are getting better, but it's not getting that much better right now. People are going to have to cut back. You can't just keep eating costs all the time. You know, and when the minimum wage goes up also, that increases your payroll taxes as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a common lament. Every time the minimum wage goes up, this happens, and it's harder on smaller businesses than it is on some big corporation that can easily do it. But you will acknowledge that it does help our economy overall, and if all of us do better, all of us do better.
I don't, because I truly don't believe that everyone does better. If you look back, I'm only 31 years old, but if I look back when I was in high school and I was working, minimum wage was a lot less. You know, I want to say my first job, I made
cost of living was a lot less.
But minimum wage has not grown, sir. And you know that since you were a teenager, the minimum wage has not grown in proportion to the cost of living.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, when I bought my business back in 2007, that was the year that the minimum wage in Ohio went from $5.15 an hour to $7 and, I forget, $7.30 an hour, something like that.
Okay, you know, how old were you then?
That was a big jump right there.
How old
were you? I'm
31. How old were you then?
In 2007?
No, okay, never mind. We're running out of time.
I am a small business owner.
Hello. Listen, when I started in radio, I made $4 an hour, but that was in 19...
No, oh, that was back in the
40s. Okay,
I was an intern for a year. I made
doing
nothing.
Texaco nothing. Star Theater back in the 40s, right, Steph?
I still
Shut up,
walk
John Fugelsang.
To school uphill both ways.
I should not tell you to watch John Fugelsang on Viewpoint with that.
You should not do that.
But
don't.
I will, so
It'll
do it.
It'll rot your brains out.
On the current television network. Love you, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, Steph. Have a great weekend.
You too, honey. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.